The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is a weird episode, dude.
Oh boy.
Oh, this man. Is the weirdest Welcome episode to... we've had in like a long time.
Welcome to the Brain Boggle Podcast with B and J.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess it's B and J now.
Yeah, it's just B and J.
Just B and J today.
Would it be B and B?
B&B. Oh, yeah, that's right. There's no J. That's right.
Yeah,
that's the one who's
no
missing.
There's no J. Yeah. Yeah, Jack's
ghosting us.
Welcome
to Jack's the Bread and
Breakfast
podcast. Yeah, Jack is... I don't know where Jack is right now. There's a slight chance that maybe he'll wake up and join us for this podcast. If not, it's just going to be your bees today, your Bobby and your Brant.
If Jack never comes back, if he just, like, fell asleep for an infinite period of time... then we could just call the podcast Airbnb.
It's just Airbnb now.
And now we're on air, you know?
And we just review shitty hotels. Yeah, so I mean, if you heard our last episode, we're going to part the kimono for a second. We're going to let you guys peek behind the curtain, if you will. Mm-hmm. Let you know like what the deal is. Mm-hmm. If you heard our episode, I guess, 3 weeks ago now, our last one, our good old Jackie boy started a new job that's overnight. So yes. We were supposed to have an episode last week, but unfortunately, due to disturbed sleep cycles, that recording never happened. So we're doing it now, and unfortunately, unless Jack shows up at some point, it might just be me and Bobby today. So
yeah, but you know what? Though?
Apologies in advance.
It's all good. It's all good. Jack's got a new schedule, and
we're figuring it out, you guys. Capitalism is hard. We all need
true.
To work.
It's true.
So
hey, my dad did the late night
right
shift
now.
Thing for like years, like maybe 8 years, and oh man, I remember that was sure. like a nightmare trying to get him to do anything at this time.
Yes, you know, my wife, a lot of her family members work second shift too. My wife. So
his wife.
I get it. His wife. it's a tricky thing. So we're figuring it out right now. We kind of went in today thinking that Jack was going to be here, and he's not at the moment. So, but he might show up, and if he does, we welcome him with open arms, open minds.
It's true.
Open hearts.
Open
you know,
open
farts
says me
know.
I don't know. Yeah, honestly sure. like sure. the thing is you know, Jack is probably gonna show up. I think the thing is like we've been like doing this thing where if Jack's you know like late to the pod, we'll just like wait for him. We're like, yeah, let's get the ball rolling, and we'll do a fun little game where Jack can like you know pretend he knows what we're talking about even though he doesn't.
Exactly. It's good. But, I can't wait for him to give us his AKA intro.
Yes.
Based on no knowledge of what we're talking about today, because I don't even think I mentioned it in our group chat. So, but anyway, speaking of talking about things, let's introduce ourselves. Okay. How does that sound, squabs?
Let's start with Jack. Jack, you go first.
Okay.
I am your Jupiter J, Jack. Oh, hey, Jack.
Thank you, Jack.
What's up? You're here. What's up, Jack? All right. I am your Book of Secrets Bee, Bobby.
Oh, nice. I'm glad you took that one, because
you're going to take
the more obvious one. Well, no, I thought you were going to take the more obvious one, which is I am your Buried Treasure Bee.
Oh, Brent. That one was so good.
It was right there. It was right there for the taking, and I'm glad you didn't take it, because I didn't have a great backup. So. So we're talking about today a little something called The Secret. So let me tell you all about the law of attraction, all right?
Oh, yes,
did your life suck? Well, it's your own fault, all right? Manifest that shit, my dude.
Bob Proctor.
No, that's not what we're actually talking about.
Oh, really? Because when you first told me about this, like I remember, yeah. Actually it was our fan Eva, fan.
Yeah, before we get too far ahead, I do have to give a big shout out to our number one fan Eva for suggesting this episode to me. And now I also need to take a brief moment to apologize to Eva for if I do a terrible job with this one, because I gotta be honest, this is not my typical type of episode. I got halfway through, you know, doing research for this and thought to myself, man, this feels like a Jack episode, which makes it even more unfortunate that he's not here at the present moment, because it really does. This is like such a Jack episode that it feels so weird for me to be doing this. I do. I got big shoes to fill. I got big hair and mustache to also fill. You know, I don't know if I can quite do it. But so we're actually talking about something called The Secret, a treasure hunt. So,
and yeah, it's not the law of attraction secret, which is what I thought it was when Eva first told me about it. And we talked about it for, I think, maybe 20 minutes at lunch. And we're both thinking we're on the same page. And then, like, she's like, yeah, so you go and find treasure. I'm like, I don't remember that part of the manifestation.
Although, as you guys know,
I really do want to find treasure. That's like my life goal. Brent, I want to hear about this. Tell me.
Yeah, so yeah, it's funny that you say that, because I had basically the same experience with Eva where she told me this to do this one, and I was like, I was actually kind of worried. I was like, oh no, she's into The Secret. Like, I don't want to do this episode and then just like shit all over The Secret and be like, this is stupid. Eva, what the fuck?
But Eva well enough now to know she's not into The Secret. That secret. But there's another secret that she is into.
Yeah, so this secret, a treasure hunt, is it's this little thing. It's this. So let me break it down for y'all. By the way, I would highly recommend for this episode that you check out brainbogglepodcast.com and head over to our brain bloggled page, because there's going to be a lot of visual elements for this one that you're probably going to want to look at and follow along. So maybe
especially
save this
if you
want
to find the treasure.
Exactly. So if you want to, you know, maybe save this one, if you're in the car right now, maybe, you know, make a hard right off the highway, find yourself like a Starbucks parking lot, bring up brainbugglepodcast.com and follow along. I would highly recommend that, because there's a lot of visuals for this one. So anyway, without further ado, The Secret is a treasure hunt created by one Byron Price, who was an American author, publisher, who wrote this book called The Secret, a treasure hunt. Now, you might be asking yourself, you know, who cares? This dude wrote a book in the 80s. Like, why is this something even worth talking about? Like, why is it interesting? Well, this is more than just your typical book. This one actually has like some interesting sort of like ARG-ish elements to it. And
oh, really?
Yeah, it's you may think, you know, you're going in like, oh, I'm going to read a book and it's going to talk about a treasure hunt. But what makes this different is there is actual treasure in the world that the author and this book's creators actually hid in a multitude of different locations. And the book itself serves as the guide for finding this treasure.
Bruh, a map. It's a map.
It's basically a map. You know, it's some serious, you know, it's like, you know,
national treasure, dude.
It's national treasure meets Uncharted meets Lord of the Rings. So it's a very interesting combo. So let's kind of dive into more of like what the book is. So the hunt involves a search for 12 treasure boxes, the clues to which were provided in a book written by Price in 1982. Again, like I mentioned, called The Secret. The book is initially presented as a fantasy novel, but very quickly shifts into a real world treasure hunt. So it's very interesting, because there's basically like it starts out when you're reading this book, it seems like it's just kind of like, oh, you know, we're reading about like these like mythical beings and stuff and whatever. And like, oh, they came to America or something. It's like, okay, this is just like some little fantasy story or whatever. But very quickly you come to find out that actually, no, there is real world treasure hidden based on the clues that are divulged in the book. So
do they just like straight up tell you that there's like treasure? Is it just like chapter one, a fantasy? So this isn't really a fantasy. Like, how does it like break the news to you?
I mean, it starts off by saying that it's a treasure hunt, but like it, the way it, there's like all this like art and they're talking about like the, I'll kind of break into the mythology aspects of it a little bit more in a minute, but you know, they're kind of like okay. describing this story about like these creatures called the fair people, which basically is just like, there is mankind, which is us humans, and then there are the fair people, which are basically pretty much like any sort of mythical creature you've ever heard of is basically mm-hmm. within the quote-unquote fair people. So, you know, you got your gremlins, you got your goblins, you got your leprechauns, ooh, you got your fairies,
your ghouls,
your ghosts. I don't think they're a ghost. you got your centaurs, you know.
Gargoyles,
you know, all this different stuff. And they, like, describe, you know, like, what regions of the world they originally came from and, you know, the sort of like middle world, or I forget what they called it in the book, you know, the old world or whatever. And but at a certain point they came over to America to sort of get away from humans or mankind, European mankind. But anyway, before we get into So basically, once you read the whole book, there's literally a section at the end of the book that has like a form that's like, if you find the treasure, send in like this, you know, fill out this form and then, you know, send us this proof that you'll have that you found the treasure hidden. And it, like, they'll send you a key to like a safety deposit box to like go unlock and, you know, get these like precious gems that they hid as treasure or whatever. But anyway,
my precious gems.
Yeah, basically. These boxes were buried at secret locations in cities across the United States and Canada that symbolically represent events and peoples that played significant roles in North American history. Anyone who uncovered one of the treasure boxes was entitled to exchange it with price for a precious gemstone. Unfortunately, though, Price died in 2005 in a car accident. So at this point, his estate had to assume the responsibility for honoring the terms of the treasure hunt. So it's kind of interesting.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it's really horrible that happened to this guy. But it reminds me a little bit of like I don't know if you've ever read or seen the movie for Ready Player One, Squab.
I've never seen it, but I saw the trailer a lot.
Yeah, so this scenario
doesn't really do anything for me. But.
No, not much. Honestly, probably makes you less informed than you need to be by having seen the trailer. So basically, the story of Ready Player One, I mean, it's very different in that it's like, you know, a virtual reality world. But what it shares in common with this is the idea of like a creator of this game who dies. Mm-hmm. And then basically within Ready Player One, if people can sort of like solve the secrets of this game, they're like entitled to this prize. And that is like, they get to like basically like own the company that made the game or whatever. But in this, you just get some gems or whatever. But it's got the similar idea. Of, like,
it gives me some vibes of like Spy Kids 3, maybe.
Of course, a little bit. Of course.
Or maybe even Tron Legacy, you know?
Sure. Sure, sure.
Where dad is like dead, but he's like, is he trapped in the game and you got to find him? But yeah, no, this is, it's got a big prize at the end. So actually, yeah. Now this makes me want to watch Ready Player One a little bit.
Yeah. And then also, I haven't actually seen the film version. I read the book. The thing that's interesting about this, though, is the one person who knows the locations of all this treasure was Byron Price, who is now dead. So he's the only person who knows where all the treasure is hidden. His estate doesn't know. He didn't keep any records of like where they were hidden besides, you know, the clues that are in the book.
I don't know if you told me this off pod, because that's crazy.
No, yeah, that's the part that makes this really interesting to me, is just the fact that, you know, there's this treasure hidden out of the world, and literally there's no one alive who knows exactly where it is.
That is frustrating as hell, because like there's these maps that we're going to get into, I'm sure, are like incredibly complicated to solve.
Oh,
some of them.
Oh yes. I'll skip ahead a little bit here to this part. If you were, there's 12 different puzzles to solve in this that lead to 4 different possible treasures. How many do you think have been solved so far, if you were to wager a guess?
Well, I think it's unfortunate that I do think I know the answer to this.
Okay.
I'm gonna say 2. That's my guess, is 2.
So it's actually 3. So close, but
I was wrong.
Only 3. One of them has been solved very recently. Although there seems to be some debate. I don't know. It's weird. There's like a whole community that's formed around this whole treasure hunt thing. I could not find a consistent answer. Some people think it's only 2. Some say it's 3. I don't know. We'll get into it when we get there. But yeah, so needless to say, the majority of these have not been solved yet. So there's still a lot of these treasure chests just out in the world that have not been found yet.
Do you think that anyone's like found one potentially without knowing about the secret? Because I mean, if you just found a treasure chest, wouldn't you just
And the thing is, like, there's a good chance that like someone could have found one of these without knowing what they found. Because I'm describing them as treasure chests, but what they are is these this is a very interesting book in that the author collaborated with a bunch of artists too. So you know, you're seeing right now in this the slideshow right now, Bobby, like some of the paintings and stuff that we got going on here. So he collaborated with painters for this, but he also collaborated with sculptors to make these sort of clay casks, as they call them. They're basically these very ornate looking sort of like pottery type square. I don't even know like how to describe it exactly. They're little cases or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's not like a treasure chest like you're picturing, like a wooden box that like has a latch that like, ooh, gold the blooms. they're these like sort of like, it looks like sort of like pottery from like an ancient civilization, these like square boxes with like feet on them and sort of like a lid that pops on and off without any sort of latch. And they have like sort of like ornate painting on them and stuff.
Almost like an urn or like a vase.
Yeah, exactly. So I think urn is like a good way to describe it. I'm just going to go back a slide real quick so you can, this is like a broken one right here. You can see here.
Weird.
Yeah, it's very it's not exactly what you would expect it to be, considering when you're thinking treasure hunt, you think treasure chests and like the typical sort of like a box or something, but they're like
buried under sand.
They sort of like created this whole like interesting mythology around this. So like their chests are supposed to look like what the sort of like pottery or like ceramics of the culture of the fair people would look like, as opposed to like a human thing or whatever, So
right. Oh, that's so cool.
To get into the lore a little bit more, just to kind of fill you in a little bit. So in the book, these creatures known as the fair people, which consisted of 12 tribes, sought out a new homeland, which ended up being North America. They originally lived in Europe and Northern Africa, but were eventually pushed out by the formation of civilizations by, early Europeans. Basically, the fair people were people of nature. They lived amongst nature and could kind of sort of blend in with nature. They actually had the, ability to sort of hide themselves amongst nature. So like within the trees or in the mountains and stuff like that, they could sort of just blend in and humans wouldn't even notice them. But as humans, I guess, in the story of The Secret, as humans started to slowly, grow and populate and build cities and stuff, it sort of forced the fair people to find a new home, and they found it in North America.
So it's a little different than like an Onward type situation where, the fairy tale creatures ended up being civilized and, you got fairies on motorcycles.
Sure.
In this case, they were like, these humans, man, they're screwing it all up. We got to get out of here. So they came to North America.
Exactly. So they settled in, you know, various regions of North America until, you know, as we all know, the fucking Europeans couldn't help themselves, just had to go around all over the place. So they eventually found their way to North America. And at that point, the fair people decided, we're going to hide ourselves once again, but we're going to create this sort of treasure hunt as a test of humanity. Basically, the idea being that the fair people will reveal themselves to humanity if they can solve their riddles and sort of prove their worth as, you know, a race of creatures, and prove that, you know, they can sort of be among the fair people. They're worthy of being among them. So they sort of created these treasure hunts
to be real.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it's just pretty cool. Yeah, so the fair people hid themselves in the woods, the deserts, the mountains to protect themselves, and they hid their gemstones away from humans as basically a sort of means test for them to prove their worth to the world and to the fair people. Yeah. So the book contains 12 images and 12 verses. So we have these sort of like 12 sort of ornate paintings, and there's these 12 poems within the book. Now, each painting is linked to one of the poems, but you don't know which ones are linked to which. It's up to you as the reader to figure out which paintings and which poems go together. So this is part of the puzzle solving, to figure out where the locations are. So you have the paintings themselves, which have sort of hidden hints within the images themselves. And then you have the poem, which goes with it, which has a more sort of written hints as to where to look. So the rules of the treasure hunt are explained as follows. Every treasure cask is buried underground at a depth no more than 3 feet to 3.5 feet. The casks are protected by lustrous, transparent boxes and are sealed. So I guess the cask, the ceramic cask itself, was also in sort of a clear, transparent box to protect it.
That makes sense.
The following places do not hold any treasure. A, any life-threatening location such as a dangerous highway embankment, a contaminated area, or active railway track. B,
do not try this at home.
Yeah, so they were trying to get ahead of it, you know. This isn't like a Pokemon Go situation where it's like, hey, go walk off this cliff to get a Charizard or something, you know. You know, they did try to lay it out ahead of time, like, hey,
go to the afterlife.
Yes. Oh, man. And then rule two is that, or B, there will not be any treasure in any cemeteries. So we're not desecrating the dead either to hide weird casks with keys in them for precious gemstones. C, any public or private flower bed. I thought that one was funny. Kind of very specific.
Oh, interesting.
No public or private flower beds. Flower beds are strictly off limits. Don't even think about looking there.
That's so funny. He must have really appreciated flowers or something.
I guess so, yeah. He's really wanting to make sure people like, hey, don't fuck around with the flowers, guys. Come on. Mm. And then lastly, rule or section D, any property owned by the contributors to the book, their families, or friends. So basically, no one who helped create this book, none of their sort of homes or properties would be where any of this stuff was hidden. So,
but my home could be a place, technically.
Technically, it could be. And here's the thing. This was written in 1982, so everything was hidden in 1982. Mm. So, you know, I don't know what was going on at your house in 1982, but, you know, there's a distinct possibility that one could be hidden somewhere there.
Dude, imagine if you're just like digging in your backyard and you just clunk, you open it up. It's like, what is this?
I know.
I have an idea, Brent.
Yeah.
Let's just take the whole America, like the entire continent, and dig 3 to 3.5 feet deep, the whole thing.
Nice.
And then we'll find the treasure.
Exactly. And then we can just level everything off. I mean, honestly, and, you know, I'm sick of all these hills. So, like,
and trees.
And trees. Who needs them? Not this guy. No
development.
Way. Bruh. All right. So, at this point in the podcast is where things get very visual. So if you're not on that brain boggled right now, I highly, again, I highly, highly recommend that you head over there, because we're about to get very visual here. So
yeah, put this on pause if you're driving. Like Brent said, either go off the highway or
stop in the middle of the highway.
Listen to one of our other episodes. Yeah, stop in the middle of the highway, you know, while eating a bowl of cereal, and just exactly. Take out your phone and check out some of these pictures.
Okay, so right now I have these listed in the slideshow in the order that they're presented in the book. So each one I'm going to describe is, you know, image one, image two, image three, image four, etc. Did you say etc? So where to start? So image one. So for you, Squab, this will be on the left. Also, there's going to be links. There's this one website. That's called. It's called thesecrets.pbworks.com, which is basically this like crowdsourced website of all these people trying to solve these puzzles. So that's where a lot of this information for this episode came from. That's you if you want to go there too for some of this stuff when we actually start describing how people have figured out where some of these are. I would recommend looking there too. It's pretty incredible how people figured these out. But anyway, let's talk about the images. So image number one. So we have what looks sort of like sort of this arch doorway shape within that shape we have what looks like sort of like an elven woman. She's got long dark black hair. She has her arms sort of folded where she's sort of like clasping at her wrists, like each arm is like sort of crossed and she's got her hands sort of clasped around her wrists. She's wearing this sort of what looks like, I guess you could describe maybe as like a ceremonial robe with sort of like blue trim on it. And down the center of it is what looks like a dragon, sort of your classic sort of dragon shape, you know, kind of snaky with a
looks
dragon
a little like Shenron.
And, yeah, yeah, that's great. Yeah, it's sort of, it kind of like straddles, you know, your sort of classic European dragon and sort of your Japanese, you know, Chinese cultural dragon shapes.
Yeah, well, it's like the long and windy kind of.
It's got the long and windy
looking
shape,
dragon.
Serpentine looking dragon that you would get in sort of Eastern cultures, but it also has sort of like the wings and like the legs that you would see sort of on a more European style dragon. To the left of the image, her right, I guess, based on her perspective, there's like a little side table on it, of which is a red rose, and then I'm actually having a difficult time making out the shape, which is why I have my iPad here too, so I can blow this image up. What looks like a little stopwatch. Yeah, it's a little stopwatch that's at 6 o'clock on the dot. Behind her is this sort of mountainous looking area, of which that there is a sort of gate looking shape at the very top of it. And there's also sort of what looks like a bunch of celestial bodies in the sky, sort of like looks like a bunch of moons basically all around the sky.
Yeah.
And she is wearing sort of what looks like a glowing necklace. I was going to say a pearl necklace, but it's really just like one pearl that's glowing blue around the edges of it. And so, yeah, that's basically image number one. Now,
yeah, and then upon first viewing, like with no context, like if I just saw this and you were like, tell me where the treasure is based on this,
yeah,
I'd be like, I don't know. It's just like a weird picture. Like, how can that be a map? But I'm excited to see some of the things people have found.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, so just for the listener's sake, I'm just going to let you know now, I'm not going to read all the verses. I will read the ones that are associated with the ones that are solved. If you want to read all the different verses, I again recommend checking out the bloggle, checking out that website that I mentioned earlier. All that stuff's there. Just for the sake of time, I'm just not going to read all of them because some of them are long and I don't want this to be a 5-hour podcast. So let's move on to image number two. So image number two, you know, you can very clearly see what looks like a big lion's face. You know, think your classic, you know, think Mufasa, if you will.
Oh, yes.
Big, classic, alpha male pride lion. lives in Maine. He has a very interesting sort of texture on his forehead, which
yeah, definitely
stands out to me. Next to his face, as and slightly in front of it, is what looks like some sort of like mask type sculpture, or some sort of, it reminds me of sort of like a tribal mask sort of look to it. It's got sort of like an alien head shape. It's, you know, kind of oval. It's got these sort of big cutouts for what would seem to be eyes, but then has a very small sort of like slit eye holes in it. And again, like very interesting sort of shapes in sort of what looks like would be like the forehead of this sort of mask. And then in front of that, sort of obscuring the mask and part of the lion's face, is what looks like a fairy woman. She is wearing sort of like, you know, like a white sort of like loincloth bikini looking thing. She has dark brown curly hair and has her hands sort of like tucked under her chin with her elbows pointed out, like she's kind of like sort of thing going on, you know.
So if
you
can imagine,
yeah, can look at me. And then she's got, you know, these sort of
Cupid me.
Yeah, she's got these kind of white, blue, and brown wings. It's very much sort of like a monarch butterfly sort of symmetrical shape between the different wings. You know, like there's, you know, it's a sort of like a Rorschach sort of thing where, you know, you got like identical shapes, but, you know, inverted on each side of the wings. In the far right corner is, you know, a blue gemstone. And then on the left, we have what looks like sort of like a branch of some form, sort of like, and it almost looks like pine needles, but like they're very sparse. And hanging from it is what looks sort of like a pear. So maybe it's a pear tree. I'm not positive. And hanging from that sort of branch is another sort of interesting face shape, sort of looks like a little mask, but smaller. It's shaped like a home plate, like baseball home plate, like a little pentagon. And then it has this sort of like interesting little face on it. It's got sort of like pointy teeth. Kind of looks like it's like, I don't know, like smiling, like, but like has its eyes closed.
And he looks like he's high.
Like, yeah, so like basically,
he's like,
he looks super high. But then he also has this like interesting shape that looks like it's shaped like 4 o'clock. Like if you're looking at a clock with the hands, you know, kind of looks like the shape of 4 o'clock or something. But I don't know if that's what it's supposed to be. Plus, there's also, he's got a little star in his cheek, and he's got little red, white, and blue lines on his left cheek. Mm-hmm. So, interesting. Interesting image.
To say the least.
Yeah. There's a lot going on in this particular image. The last one felt a little more like it, I don't want to say it makes sense, but you look at it, you're like, yeah, I don't know why this just like seems right, this image. The second one, I'm like, huh. I don't know what to make of this particular image. Just, there's a lot of stuff going on in here. Oh, and I forgot to mention there's like a little daisy flower. Yeah, it's more abstract. And also, yeah, I totally forgot to mention in the bottom left, there's a daisy flower sticking up. So we got that. Now, on to image three. So on image three, we got what looks like a suit of armor with its arms out, sort of like Jesus Christ T pose. It's very sort of ornate looking armor. You know, it's got this sort of, I don't even know how to describe the shape of the head. It's sort of like, kind of looks like a little like bowl plate that's like on top of its head. And then the face of it is sort of, almost looks like the snout of like a horse or something. I don't know. It's hard to describe exactly what I'm looking at here. Again,
it kind of looks like Ultron. Elements.
Yeah, kind of. It's totally got a little bit of that going on. And so it's just sort of like the torso part of this like suit of armor. With the arms splayed out. It's got like a little tiny baby flail on its like on the left arm, or technically its right arm. And then there's like a little set, a key on a ring hanging from that arm also.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's like some little bubbles hanging around. There's some bells hanging off the right arm, the right side arm, another key hanging from that one. And then there's this tiny little like humanoid, I don't even know what kind of creature it's supposed to be, but it's like holding up a bubble with what looks like a dandelion within it. And all this is happening in front of like an archway window that has, you know, a night sky behind it. And it's
almost looks like the same setting as the first image.
Yeah, because there's a lot of like circular shapes going on in the night sky. Yeah, and then that suit of armor is sort of perched on this pedestal, and everything looks like it. There's a, you know, sort of cracks and stuff in the wall that seem to make different shapes and stuff that are kind of hard to make out, but they're there. So that's image number three. Image number four is of what looks like a centaur holding sort of a goblet. He's wearing a helmet, very similar shape to the previous image, just sort of like bowl type helmet that's got on top of its head. He's standing on top of what sort of to me looks like, I don't know, like a mausoleum.
I think you're right. I think it's a mausoleum.
Go ahead.
The little like grave houses that you find in like a cemetery.
Right. Yeah. That's pretty much what it looks like. And that kind of makes sense too, because it's also got dates on it. So, or what I assume are dates. On the left, it says 1442. And on the right, it says 1881. There's a gemstone sort of at the center of the arch. A lot of arches too. That seems to be a pretty common theme among a lot of these images. There's like an arch on the mausoleum with a gemstone on it. There's sort of a flower shape at the bottom of that. It's sort of in this like dark, sort of desolate looking wooded area, very foggy looking. There's this sort of ball with a triangle shape next to the centaur. Very interesting. So,
yes, definitely.
On to the next images. I'm going to try to burn through these quickly so that we don't spend too much time just describing images. Because, you know, I want to
actually
Because you got to see these
for yourself, too. Like, it's hard to describe because there's just so much detail.
There's so much detail, and they're very, like, ornate. Like, Bobby sort of mentioned earlier, they're sort of in this sort of, they feel like almost like Renaissance paintings, or like they're in this style of like, I don't know, like old European, you know, art style. I'm not an art historian, so my apologies. So image number five.
They call me old man Quillers.
But so we got image number five, which is sort of like a gremlin-y looking elf man who is, you know, wearing sort of like what looks like a leather cap with cutouts for his ears. Mm-hmm. He's got sort of like a big nose, a big mouth, pointy ears.
Yeah, he's definitely got the gremlin kind of goblin kind of look going on there.
Yeah,
for sure.
He's got like a green gemstone sort of hanging from his hat. He's also got like what looks like a castle coming out of his head. So he's got, you know,
it looks like Hogwarts sort of, a little bit.
Yeah, basically. And then from that, there's like this sort of like fairy looking shape pouring water down the side of his right, the right side of his head. There's sort of like a horseman type figure on the top of the castle. There's like a windmill. There's some like shapes going on in the background. Pretty interesting. Now, image number six, we've got what looks like sort of like a horseman with a flag on top of this interesting looking rock formation. There's flowers at the bottom of it. It looks like it's sort of on the water. You can see sort of like a palm tree in the background with like a little rock shape in the ocean or whatever body of water this is. And there seems to be some sort of like bluish gemstone type thing embedded in this interesting rock shape that he is on top of. Then we got image number seven, which is of a grandfather clock that appears to be at midnight for the time. There's a hand that's holding up sort of a mask. It's very kind of
I don't like
looking.
That mask.
It's like kind of kabuki-ish, but like
looks
more
a little
soulless.
Bit like The Stranger.
Yeah,
you know?
it's very creepy looking.
Like Mark Twain.
It says the word preservation on the grandfather clock.
I don't like that.
This one has some creep vibes to it. And then there's like, if you look very closely, it's very hard to see in the slideshow that I have out, Bobby, but there's like sort of like, I don't know if he's in the clock itself or he's like just like an image on the clock. It looks almost like a little Peter Pan type figure sort of like floating here in this area.
Oh, like yeah, I see him.
Yeah. Kind of looks like a little Peter Pan guy in there, so.
Yeah, and I can totally see that. He's like, Silo almost looks like he could be like swinging from like a vine, too.
Yeah, basically. And then the background is sort of this like checkered background, and there's some spots in it where it gets weirdly distorted. Is that important? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. We'll find out. Image 8 is, this one's like very fantastical. It's, we got this like sort of like djinn looking man. Nice, nice.
That's sort of the mysterious stranger. It looks just like this mask.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, totally. So anyway, in image, in, no, it's all good. In image 8, we got, I also can't see you right now because I have the presentation up, so I'm missing some of your visual cues here, so I'm just sort of, sorry if I'm like steamrolling you here, but we got
no, so I could be doing anything right now, you wouldn't even know.
I would have literally no idea. So we got in image 8 what looks sort of like a djinn, I guess, or like a genie type figure. It's like this man with sort of like a hood over his face, and he's got sort of like a tornado sort of wind shape around his lower half, and he appears to be in this sort of like on this like cobblestone or like granite stone like road or walkway with these pillars that have different shapes on them. One of them is like a circle, maybe a globe. One of them has a camel, another one has, I think, is a rhinoceros head. And you can see sand dunes in the far back, and there's a red gemstone on the ground in front of him. There's a star in the sky that's shining brightly.
Dude, yeah. I wonder if this was the inspiration for that Crash Bandicoot level with the guy. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
The guy's got a tornado tornado for legs. That's Crash Bandicoot. Two, it's got the columns. It's just missing the papu papu. Was that it?
Yeah.
Papu papu. The big villain, and he slams the little cobblestones, and they go, and you got to run around. Anyway, totally side railing.
No. I love it. I've been just like blabbing for a while, so I appreciate the break. Let's move on to image 9, which this is probably like one of the most straightforward ones of all of them. We got this, again, sort of like, I don't want to say he looks like a gremlin. He maybe looks like a little gnome or something.
He looks a little bit like a Danny DeVito.
He's got some Danny DeVito vibes going a bit, particularly the hair that's wildly sticking out the side. So he's got this kind of scrunchy little face with like kind of like fluffy hair sticking out the side. He has this checkered cap on his head with, you know, like a dull looking gemstone in the middle of it. He's sort of like checkered patterns on his robe with sort of a flower shape on the left, and then on the right is I honestly don't know what to make of this particular shape. Even zoomed in like I have on my iPad right now, I don't really know what it's supposed to be of.
Kind of looks like a skull set from the side a little bit.
It's weird because it's like, it looks like a skull, but it also looks like it has like a hooven leg coming out of it. You know, it's got that sort of like reverse bent elbow with the hoof down here. So I don't really know exactly what it is I'm looking at here. He's sort of holding his hands together and it's sort of interesting. Like he's sort of like tapping his fingertips together, like excellent sort of thing going on here.
He's plotting some devious plots.
Exactly.
He's playing chess. You know, with the world, and that's why he's got 40. The checkers kind of
Explain some
40
chess here with your checkers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
King me, baby. So, this is a very, of all the images, I feel like this one has the least detail to work off of. So, I'll be very interested to see when we get to the part where what people think this one it goes to. Because basically, we'll get there pretty soon, but for basically every image at this point, there's like a suspected location, but they just haven't been found yet. But anyway, continuing on, we got image 10 here. This one's kind of fun, a little whimsical. We got this sort of humanoid looking figure. Again, pretty much all these figures are wearing robes of some form. It's sort of like a blue robe with a reddish sort of a neck piece around it, sort of collar with a sort of a cloak type thing going on, but it looks like they're like juggling. They got like two red balls in their hands, and then they also got a key and what looks like, I don't know, like a weird like scythe, or like, I don't know, maybe even like a golf club almost, but it's probably not a golf club. And then
I don't
flower.
Know why, but this picture just reminds me of D'Angelo Vickers. I don't know
why.
Yeah,
a little
it's
bit.
It's just giving me D'Angelo Vickers vibes.
Stay with me. Stay with me, Phyllis.
Stay with me, Phyllis.
Stay with me, Phyllis. Probably like the best part of like later season Office.
Oh,
or
absolutely.
Later era Office is D'Angelo Vickers doing the fucking fake juggling to Evanescence's Wake Me Up. So fucking funny.
I never touch another man's equipment.
Yes. Oh man!
Wake me up. The spin.
Wake me up.
Oh man.
Yeah. So this figure, they're also a little bit sort of ambiguous in their gender. I couldn't tell you if this is a man or a woman. Maybe they're non-binary. I don't know, but you know. So we got them. They're juggling this weird stuff. One of them looks like a blue gem, and then there's this sort of like mysterious mountain range in the back that looks like it has sort of like buildings on the top of it. It's very foggy looking.
Yeah, again, this looks like Hogwarts as well.
Yes, it's again, all this stuff is very fantasy inspired, very, you know, Harry. There's a lot of Harry Potter-ish stuff you can take out of it. So image 11, we got this woman who is holding a chest that's being opened, and it's got glowing blue light coming out of it. To her right is another little fairy person holding a green gemstone. Mm-hmm. She's surrounded by a number of different globes by her right side. She's got what looks like a falcon just kind of chilling out to her left. There's some bubbles floating around. I've got this like circular window behind her that has, again, a star and another sort of moon-like celestial body shape.
Mm-hmm.
And then
kind of looks like it could be like an airplane window or something,
or like a submarine or a boat
submarine?
Or something.
Yeah.
So that's that one. And then she's also got this very sort of like ornate shapes and stuff, sort of like on the bottom part of her dress, on her torso. They can see here; they almost look like sort of like flower, like vines, thorny vines, sort of shape. And then the last image number 12. This one is in the same sort of format as the first one, where it's got sort of like the arch doorway shape to it. We got sort of this angelic looking figure who's floating from the ocean up. She's wearing sort of like this, you know, angelic white robe, dark black brown hair. Again, just looks like she's levitating out of the water. But behind her head is this sort of like, it almost looks like a stained glass window sort of shape. And there's like a bird of some form flying past. I was going to say sort of like a seagull, but it's got almost like a bird of prey type beak going on. In that sort of stained glass window, you see another clock that is 11 o'clock that's on the bottom right. You got what looks like sort of, you could either interpret it as sort of like, you know, like Saint, you know, like the Saint Basil's sort of cathedral in Russia. The sort of like onion shaped dome buildings, or you could, you know, sort of see it as, you know, like a Dome of the Rock, sort of Middle Eastern building shape. I think it maybe resembles more sort of like a Russian cathedral shape, but that's just me. And then next to that is just like what is like a little rectangular shape, and then some sort of like stained glassy looking colored shapes from there. And she's holding some sort of flower in her hand. And again, we got like a blue gemstone too, like right underneath her. In the smaller image, kind of looks like there's another water drop, but when you look up close, it's actually a blue gemstone. So,
those interesting.
Are our puzzles. Yes, those are our puzzles. Now we're going to actually talk about the ones that have been solved. So,
this is where it gets real cool.
This is where it gets cool. So, interestingly enough, the very first puzzle that was solved a year after the book came out. So,
wow,
we have image number 5, which is our sort of gremlin-faced guy with a castle on his head. And that one matches up to verse 12 in the book, and I'm actually going to read it, that verse now, so that you have it in your mind as we explain how they solved it. So, verse 12, where M and B are set in stone, and to Congress R is known. L sits and left beyond his shoulder is the fair folk's treasure holder. To end of 10 by 13 is your clue. Fence and fixture, central two. For finding jewel casks, seek the sounds of rumble, brush, and music, hush. So that's the verse that's associated with this particular image. Now, upon hearing that and looking at this image, my first thought is, I just don't see any connection between the two whatsoever.
How the heck? I mean, I guess shoulder, like, but I don't know. Like, there's a lot of other shoulders in the other pictures.
Yeah, so the cask for image 5, verse 12, was buried and found in Grant Park, Chicago, Illinois, in 1983. The three teenagers who solved the puzzle and found the cask were Eric Gasiorowski, sorry if I butchered your name, Bob Rorbell, and David James. The write-up provided by Gasiorowski is one of the best explanations of how they put it all together and dug up the casks. In the solution, the outline of Illinois and a few well-known landmarks get us to Chicago. So, in this particular image, you can see here, Bobby, this is, I'm sort of highlighting here, this is the shape of Illinois, right? If you look in this image here, on the left, there's an inverted shape of Illinois, as you can see detailed over here in the description of how they figured out it was Illinois.
But it's not obvious, like, if you're not looking obvious. For it.
It's not obvious, and it's not exact either, but, you know, so it's inverted in the actual image itself. And the shape is not, like, perfectly like Illinois. It's close, but it's not, like, exactly the same.
Yeah.
But then we also have several landmarks that could be attributed to Chicago. For example, we have this sort of windmill tower, which, if you look here, is very similar shape to the Chicago Water Tower. It's got the blue cap at the top. It's got the similar shape. It's got sort of, like, these sort of, like, cross-shaped windows that are very similar to that that's in the image here that you can see up in the top right. Then we also have sort of this greenish blue figure pouring water, which appears to be based on the sculpture called the Fountain of the Great Lakes. So, you know, you can see here this sort of like angel fairy pouring water. It's very similar to the statue in Chicago of this green man who's pouring water out into like a fountain.
Great. So we've got, you know, three things to tell us it's in Chicago.
Yeah.
But how the heck did they get the exact location of the treasure based on just,
so,
oh, it's in Chicago.
Yeah. An image of a bowman in a reference to L, which they interpreted as being for Abraham Lincoln, gets us to Grant Park. So there's this, statue of Abraham Lincoln that's in Grant Park, Chicago. So in the verse, there's a mention of L sits left beyond his shoulders. So basically, so the treasure being left of where the Abraham Lincoln statue is beyond his shoulder is like the direction to head into. And then after you do that, at the end of 10 by 13, your clue is a fence and fixture. So, man, this is crazy. So, two intersecting lines of trees pinpointed the spot, and a distinct fence fixture beyond that proved exactly where it was. So, basically what happened was they looked at like a map of Chicago. They looked at where the statue was. They figured out where these like cross lines were. I'm actually going to bring up the website itself now so that we can actually look at some of this stuff more, because I didn't put all of it in my slideshow just because I wanted you to be able to see everything.
Dude, these kids are crazy smart. Like, how the heck did they figure this out?
It's pretty ridiculous. So
we got to find them and get the dream team back together so we can find some more treasure.
Yeah, it's insane that these kids were able to figure this out, like, and so quickly too, after the book came out, which is like pretty amazing in its own right. So I mean, as you're seeing me scroll through here, Bobby, you're just seeing like all these things, like, oh, we circled this shape and that's like this thing is like the chimney on that, you know. You got your art, you got this little circular shape that's like this one down here, you know.
How do they do this without the internet, you know what I mean? Like, I can understand like, if you have the internet, you can like look these things up on Google Maps and not actually go to the place. But they did this like before that. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Oh, so the like fixture. You get the shape of the fixture. It's hidden in the painting itself. And then we have a picture here of the actual fixture itself. It's like pretty identical to what's in the painting. And then like they figured out hints for longitude and latitude based on the shape of the windmill. Like, you can see these numbers here, like 8788248878, you know, like, so this is like help them sort of narrow down the latitude and longitude of the exact location.
How would they even know that that was not just like them making things up, though? That's crazy.
Yeah, it's so, so intense. I just keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling through like all the different ways they figured it out. But it's just, I don't even know how to really explain exactly how they found it. It's like so incredible. Like, they use the shape of the warts on the gremlin's face, like help, like the pattern of warts on the individual's face might be a map of some kind. The cask was found in a area of Grant Park where the trees are planted in the straight rows and columns, like similar to the shape of the warts. You get like this straight line of warts and then one that's like above. So they basically are like, oh, well, these trees are like in like the same shape of like these warts on the thing's face.
But that could be anything in the freaking painting. That's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
I like how if you keep scrolling down, there's this whole section about Dobby.
Yeah, the Dobby
from Harry
thing,
Potter.
Right? Yeah,
Dobby.
Yeah.
I scrolled to the bottom, like right before the comments. It's just like this little Dobby section because I guess this is like a house elf, basically.
Yeah.
So
gotcha. That's sort of like what it's based on. They call them the brownies, I guess, and the book or whatever, you know, which is maybe a problematic name for them.
I was going to say, it doesn't sound like a great name.
Doesn't sound like the best name, not going to lie. Yeah. I don't know if I love that so much.
I don't like that name for a house slave. Like,
yeah, not great. Pretty bad. But let's move on to the next one that has been solved, which is image 4, which is associated with verse 4. So, let me go ahead and read
that. Is that the one with the centaur? Yes.
That's our centaur one right here. So, let me go ahead and read that verse for you. So, beneath two countries as the road curves, in a rectangular plot beneath the 10th stone, from right to left, beneath the 9th row from the top, of the wall including small bricks, 7 steps up you can hop. From the bottom level, Socrates, Pindar, Apelles, free speech, couplet, birch. To find cask's destination, seek the columns for the search. So, let's dive into how they solved this one. So, I am jumping around my notes so much. So, here's the interesting thing. This one was solved. So the first one was solved in 1983, right? Let me have you wager a guess. When do you think this is the second one that was solved? When do you think it was solved?
I'm going to guess the 90s, 95.
2004.
What?
So almost 20 years later is when someone finally figured out the second one. Now, part of this is that the book never really took off in its time. Like, it was not like super popular. There was actually supposed to be a sequel to this. Basically, the idea being that like when everyone found all the treasure, they were going to do another one, and that they were going to like incorporate like all the treasure finders like into the next story or whatever, because they were going to be like the people who like, you know, made this prove their worth to the fair people. There was going to be a whole sequel and everything.
Dude,
and just,
that sounds so cool.
It really is a shame that this didn't like, was not written and like produced and arranged now with the age of the internet. Because now we have, you know, all these people sort of, you can crowdsource this information. We have this like amazing website with all this work that people have done trying to solve these puzzles. And had it happened, you know, at the time when this was written, you know, we might have been able to find all of these. But now there's so much time has passed. So many things have changed since they were hidden.
As we're going to talk about later, things have gotten torn down. And
as we're going to talk about with the next one that was solved, not this one, but the next one, some of these things were literally about to be covered over.
Wow.
Like where they were hidden. So like they may have never been found. So some of these that have never been found may never be found because they've just been covered by buildings or like, you know, cement, you know. So it's just like crazy. The fact that like some of the stuff has just been probably lost to time now, unfortunately. But so here we have verse 4, image 4. So some things that we can make out. So one thing that seems to be very common in these is that you can find the shapes of the states that they seem to be hidden in. So as you can see, we got the shape of Ohio sort of hidden. Where is it actually on this guy? Hard to tell in the image, but basically on the sort of mausoleum shape itself, you can see that there's sort of like this sort of crack ridge shape that's shaped very similar to the state of Ohio. So in case I didn't say it already, basically this one was found in Cleveland, Ohio by one Andy Abrams in 2004. Other things we have here that point towards Cleveland, Ohio, the 1442 and 1881 dates, these are sort of, it could be potential hints for the longitude and latitude of the specific place. Yeah, so you could sort of find a way to like make these numbers into the longitude and latitude for Cleveland, Ohio, specifically by sort of rearranging some of the numbers around.
That's crazy complicated.
Yeah, like these puzzles are like not simple at all.
What if we did this random thing with this random part of it and just guessed and hoped that it was right? Like, what?
I know. And it, like, so much of it too is that, you know, you have to be able to figure out based on a poem and stuff in the image, like what it could possibly be. But also, like, you kind of have to know some of the lore too. Like, each of these, like, creatures that are in the paintings are from like different parts of the world and have different gemstones, and that also sort of informs like where they were hidden. So it's like, oh, you know, like the last one had a green gemstone and it had sort of like the creature was from, supposed to be sort of like a Celtic Irish sort of creature. So we're like, okay, well, what are places in North America that have like large Irish populations? And so, you know, you could say you've got Boston, you've got Philadelphia, you got Chicago, and it's like, okay, well, Chicago could work because of these reasons, you know. So it's like there's so many different aspects of it that, you know, go together. It's crazy. So like to the point where like this is why I was worried about doing this episode, because I'm like, these things are so complex, I don't even really know how to explain them to, like, people.
I know.
So, several of the clues that would presumably get us to Cleveland are still unsolved, but the visual references to the Greek cultural garden are very clear and unambiguous. So, we got the Cleveland Cultural Garden, which is here. So, there you can find this helmet, a U.S. Army Doughboy World War I helmet, which is very similar to that of which the Centaur is wearing. This is located in, like I said, the Cleveland Cultural Gardens.
But dude, like, this is what I don't get. It's 2004, and you're like, you buy this book, and you're like, oh, yeah, Like that helmet. That's that, that one helmet that's in the one place in the museum near the... Like, what? Dude, like, you have to already know these places, or otherwise you're visiting every corner of the earth to find it.
Exactly. I mean...
Oh.
Yeah. I feel like they didn't... Good old Byron Price didn't realize how complex he was making these damn puzzles.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So,
or he was, like, really smart.
Yeah. So, oh man, it's just, yeah, you really should just go check out, if you're at all interested in what I'm talking about right now, just please go visit thesecret.pbworks.com and like actually go through this stuff.
The thing is, go ahead.
I was just gonna go into some other things, like there's this fountain that's located in the park that's the same shape as the goblet that the centaur's holding, and it sort of gives off this aura of like water coming out of the goblet, and you know the fountain obviously has water spewing out of it. So anyway, you were gonna say, Bobby?
I was gonna say I was very interested in trying to be the next person to solve the puzzle.
Yeah.
Like before we started. And as I'm like digging through like some of the hints, I'm like, this is way beyond my pay grade. Like this is so much more complicated than National Treasure. Like what, so you guys don't just take some lemon juice and put it on the back of the whatchamacallit?
The Constitution?
Constitution, or whatever.
The Declaration of Independence, I think.
Yeah, whatever it's called. The Declaration of Independence. I'm like, I thought it was going to be like that easy, but oh my God, this is like, it's like, I don't even know the shape of my town, let alone like a river in like California. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's.
I wonder if an AI could solve this.
Yeah, but the thing that's cool about this to me, though, again, just to kind of go back to sort of like the ARG aspect of it now, is that if this like happened now, like this would be like an amazing ARG because it's so complex that you almost like have to crowd sort of source this and have like a like internet community trying to figure out the meaning of these puzzles because they're so complex, and you literally have the expanse of North America to go through to try to figure out these exact locations. Now, they tried to pick places with historical significance, you know, so like the first one was in this like park, this specific park in Chicago that had, you know, associations with, you know, Abraham Lincoln. This one is, you know, pretty famous park in Cleveland. The Greek gardens are associated with, you know, the centaur, sort of, you know, associated with like Greek mythology. There's mentions of Greek philosophers, Socrates, Pindar, Apelles. You know, so like there's the columns, like it's all very sort of like Greek, Grecian based. And so all the hints sort of point to that sort of thing. And then it just so turns out that Cleveland's, the longitude and latitude hidden within the numbers and the painting correspond with Cleveland, which happens to have, you know, this like cultural center that features a lot of Greek culture stuff. So it's just, it's crazy.
It is crazy. Like it's boggling my brain. Like it's, you were telling me how in depth this is before we started. And I was like, it'll be fine. Like, don't worry about it. But now I'm like looking, I'm like, holy crap, there's a lot to digest here.
There's so much, like, to the point where like this podcast is getting long and I'm like, I don't even know like what to keep going over. So let me go,
dude, quickly. There's just so much.
Yeah, so let me quickly go over the last one that's been discovered. Though, if you go to this particular website, they do not categorize this one as being solved, which is interesting. I don't know if it's just a matter of this website just hasn't been updated in a long time. I know there's been some controversy, like there was, you know, Discovery Unknown, like a show that was like, they like did an episode about this and they're like, oh, we know the location of this one that's hidden in Fort Lauderdale, Florida or whatever. Maybe it's not Fort Lauderdale, it's somewhere in Florida. And they go like, oh, we know exactly where it is, and they go and dig and they can't find it or whatever. So like there's been some sort of controversy, people saying like they've figured out where stuff is, but haven't actually found it. But this one in particular, there was a news story I mean, as you see in the slideshow, it looks like they found a cask, and they say the people, the family who found it, says claims they received the gemstone from the estate, which here's this blue mm-hmm. one, which is, you know, although, you know, it looks, this gemstone looks blue here, but in the painting it looks green. And I'm pretty sure, like, the gemstones that are, you're supposed to win for each one are supposed to be the same as the ones in the picture. So that, you know, maybe is sus. I don't know. But anyway.
I don't know, dude. I think that the people that think this is a fraud, I agree, because I don't know, dude. This one, wait, so where was this one found?
So this one was found in Lagoni Park in Boston, Massachusetts, actually, okay, of all places.
Because I was going to say there's a lot of like people are saying like the triangles or like the Sitco sign, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, oh, this one's like a Boston one. Interesting. Which, if you didn't know, we live near Boston.
Yeah, we're New England boys. So originally a lot of people suspected like somewhere around Fenway Park was a potential location. But this park, I guess, is not really that close to there. So this one was discovered in 2019. So now we're talking like very recent, but also another like 15 years after the last one was found. So huge gaps of time in between when ones were found. And again, just want to put it out there, there is some debate as to whether or not this one is legitimate or not. It seems like,
oh my god, dude, we gotta go find it, Brent.
So this is the one where there was literally a construction crew that was about to basically dig up the area and like pave over it in this park,
as you do before, in Boston.
Before they like discovered, yeah, exactly, which is I guess why like the cask itself is like broken in the picture, because they were literally like digging the thing out, and the people, like the family, it was literally like a father and his like kids who like figured it out, and they were like, no, don't, you're about to destroy this like really cool thing or whatever. So it's very interesting. So this one in particular, they say the face of the woman in it is actually very resemblant of the Christopher Columbus Waterfront Park statue in the North End. I can see it somewhat, you know?
Yeah, I can see it.
There's similarities there, for sure.
I'm pretty sure that statue got defaced this year, didn't it?
I think so. Yeah.
As it should.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can move past the whole Christopher Columbus thing at this point in time. I think there are better things that could be holidays, say like Election Day. I don't know. Maybe give everyone that one off instead of Columbus Day. I don't know. Just a thought.
Agreed.
But then we got this like shape that's in the painting here that is very similar to, I guess, sort of the North End's Little Italy area. Yep. You know, you can see here these sort of like the waterfront that you can see in Charlestown Navy Yard. It's very similar to this area here. So
it's a bit of a stretch, I will say. It's a bit of a stretch, but
a little bit. I mean, I can see there's similarities. The thing with a lot of these, though, is that a lot of them are kind of stretches, you know. But it turns out some of them have been right. So it's like the artists who did this took some creative license to try to obscure it as much as possible, to the point where it almost like you look at it and you're like, is that really that? I don't know. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess it could be that, you know, like
and then it's
a
like,
lot
well,
of these.
There's the treasure.
Yeah. And then, you know, the woman in the picture is holding this sort of like little box. And there, I guess the shapes, the sort of castle-like shapes in the box are very similar to the Boston University castle. Again, like, I can sort of see it, but aspects of it don't really match up at the same time, you know?
Well, what's like crazy to me is like it's very close, but I feel like depending on the angle, you could line up those shapes with like so many different things.
Sure. You know? Such like a classical castle shape. That's like why specifically the Boston University castle, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, we have, you know, the fairy that's holding the gemstone is similar to this painting called Faith. which is made by a Boston artist named J.S. Copley. You know, I mean, again, it's like, yeah, I
a
can
woman
sort of
at
see
an
it.
Angle, like, what?
Yeah, but it's like, there's a lot of things that are dissimilar, too, though. Like, you know, her hair in the painting is, like, blonde or white, whereas the fairy is brunette. She's just kind of generally holding this sort of cup in the same direction. It's like, a lot of them are just, they feel like stretches, you know, but... I don't know.
Dude, I'm going to go ahead and this is a hot take here.
Okay.
I think that this was a fraud, this one.
Yeah,
because
maybe.
The first two seemed very, like, when it showed, like, the fence fixture, that was, like, a dead copy
that
of,
one's
of
so
the
like,
fence fixture.
Yeah, wow. Man, you guys really fucking nailed it on that one. Yep, that's
almost,
exactly what that is.
Yeah, like, almost all of these ones are stretches to me. Even, like, if you scroll down and you see, like, the panel on the woman's dress and how that lines up with, like, a pattern, it doesn't really... It's not close enough, I feel like, for it to be...
Yeah, like, they're similar, but there's enough that's unique to the painting from the thing that's supposed to match up to that's, like... I don't know, you know, it's like, okay, there's a general shape that, like, I can sort of see, but, like, it's tough. So, this one is interesting, and, again, like, these have so much, so it's like...
I think it's just wishful thinking for me, because I'm like, I really want it to not be found so I can go find it, but I'm also not going to. It's crazy.
Very true. So let's talk about some of the ones that have not been found, but where they've been, where people suspect they might be. So image number one, that very first one I showed you there, Squab, of like this sort of like elven looking woman, people believe to be in San Francisco. And I'm just going to include a couple of the hints because, again, go check out that website because people have done a lot of legwork. But some things that you can see in the image, there's rock shape that is vaguely similar to Ronald Reagan, who is from San Francisco.
I can see that.
Yeah. Also, there is you got this sort of shape here that sort of vaguely resembles trolley, like the famous trolley cars in San Francisco. One that I didn't include here, but maybe if we go back real quick, that I remember now, this sort of gate-like shape in the background apparently is very similar shaped to Alcatraz, which famously is off the coast of San Francisco, otherwise known as The Rock. So people believe that image one is associated with San Francisco. Now, this one, interestingly... People think they've found the exact location of it, but unfortunately, a sort of wheelchair ramp access was built over, cemented over where they think it exactly is, and they can't get to it now. Yeah.
Right, and you don't want to, you know, take access away from people.
Right, but also, like, you can't just, like, roll up with your home jackhammer and just be like, all right, let's get to work, boys. You know?
Meanwhile, there's a line of people, like, with...
Trying to get to, I don't know, in RVs wheelchairs. Or wherever. I don't even know exactly where this wheelchair ramp access is going to, but it is basically now obstructing where they think the exact location of this particular cask is.
I mean, listen, this is interesting because the cliffs, they do look similar to the types of rock formations you would see there. And on the shape of the rock that's supposed to look like Alcatraz, you got like a little jail cell. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I could see it.
Yeah, totally.
You get the Bobby seal of approval.
Yeah, that one, I'm like, yeah, I think they definitely nailed the location for sure. Like, generally as San Francisco. I totally think they're right on that one. So next one is believed to be in, I believe, Charleston, South Carolina. Or, hold on. Skip too far in my notes. So let's see. Second image. Yeah, Charleston, South Carolina. So some things that we got going on here. In that sort of like skull mask shape sort of thing, you can actually see a pretty distinct shape
if you
look at this map here. It looks almost identical to this sort of like peninsula type area that Charleston is actually located in, like to a T. Like it is like
that's not a stretch.
That one's not a stretch like some of like the other ones we were looking at, like the like North End sort of like naval like dock harbor or whatever. Like this one like looks identical to the shape of
You even got like Drum Island there off the coast. That's accurate.
Exactly the shape. Then, you know, you also got this sort of like the bend in the pine branch near the pear could represent the bend of apparently Route 703. Maybe. I don't know. that one's interesting. But I mean, the map in the skull or mask itself is like pretty spot on. I mean, that's enough to convince me right there that like they have the right city for sure. Far as tracking down the exact location, you know, that's harder to say. So then we got image number three, which is believed to be Roanoke, Virginia. So
okay,
first of all, I want to do an episode on the Roanoke colony at some point. But aside from that,
jot that down.
It's on the list, baby. So you can see here we got this shape here that's very similar to this little island here, sort of like where the Roanoke sort of colony was. Again, the shape is like pretty on point. So
that's pretty, that's pretty good.
It's pretty hard to miss as far as that goes. I'm sorry if I'm like kind of just burning through these here because the episode is getting a little long in the tooth. So I'm trying to kind of just wrap it up.
Yeah, that's all good. Honestly, this is more one of those things where it's more interesting probably to like scroll through it yourself anyway. Like it's, there's so much to look at.
So image six, we had like that sort of knight looking character horse rider on top of the rocky structure. If you look at sort of the shape that's sort of created in the rock and the sky and the water, looks like Florida. The guy on the rock kind of looks a lot like a conquistador, which was, which Cortez famously, landed in Florida as conquistadors.
This is definitely got to be like St. Augustine, dude.
Yeah, no, it's exactly where they think it is. This is the one that had that discovery.
Look at me,
unknown.
I'm figuring it out.
Yeah, see, this is that one that had that. See, maybe, you know what, Bobby? Maybe you could solve one. Listen, like,
actually, I think you said it earlier in the episode. I'm pretty sure you said it earlier.
I think I said Fort Lauderdale.
Say Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, so it's actually St. Augustine, because then there's famously actually a sort of a park there that's like dedicated to Cortez and like all that. And that's where that Discovery Unknown episode like was there with the treasure hunter guys, where they thought they knew the exact tree where it was buried under, and it ended up not being there. But a lot of the clues do point to St. Augustine, though. Next, we got image seven, which was the one of the mask being held up, the kind of creepy-looking mask.
The mysterious stranger.
Yep, that one they believe is possibly in New Orleans. Again, I'm going to kind of burn through these real quick so we kind of can get just kind of wrap things up here. Image eight, which was of the sort of gin genie man, they believe is in Houston, Texas. We can see some shapes here that are similar to sort of like the orb on the column shape. We got image nine, which they believe is in Montreal, Canada. Oh, okay. So I can actually see what this shape, before we were trying to figure out what the hell this is, it looks like sort of like a gargoyle that's like almost like eating like a leg, like a horse.
Oh, yeah. Or dude, I told you there was gargoyles in this.
Yeah.
I told you. I knew
it. So apparently there's statues in Montreal that are like that exact same shape. So like, yeah, that sounds like it's probably about right. Then we also got this sort of building here, this like interesting shaped building, which you can see down here. So Montreal seems like a likely location for that one. We got image 10, which was of sort of the juggling, ambiguous
D'Angelo humanoid Vickers. Person.
Yeah, D'Angelo Vickers juggling. They point to Milwaukee. So we got these buildings here that look similar. We got the sculpture.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Look at that.
Yeah. We got these sculptures that are similar. And then we got image 12, which is believed to be New York City. You've got, you know, the angelic figure looks similar to the Statue of Liberty. The faces are pretty similar.
Oh, yeah,
similar. It does. Wow. You've got these other sculptures that are similar to like the sort of like eagle-like bird thing that was flying in the thing. They're very, very distinct sort of like beak eye shape that is shared by them. So yeah, so those are like the suspected locations of the rest of them, but they have not actually been found yet, unfortunately.
Dude, half the work's already done for everybody. Let's go. Let's bring, come on, Bogglers. Let's solve this puzzle.
Yeah, so it's crazy to me. Like, there's a few things. Excuse me. I just unplugged my headphones. There's a few things that are crazy to me about this. One, that the author of the book never, like, wrote down anywhere where any of these were actually located. So the fact that it's been just,
like,
lost
even
time,
in, like, a secret, like, box or something somewhere.
That,
like
another safety deposit officer. Like, just in case I die in a free car accident, someone else can know the exact locations of where I hid these things.
Yeah.
But also, on top of that, well, let me unshare the screen now. We don't need it anymore. Bye-bye. The other thing that's just, like, kind of amazing to me about all this is just the fact that with all these resources we have now, we've gone, people seem to have gone so close to narrowing down where it is, and yet we still can't find them. Like,
yeah, I wonder if it's just one of those things where like time is just not helping, you know, like the fact that things are changing constantly, and
yeah,
this is so old now, you know, maybe it's just
kind of sad. Yeah, it's kind of sad. Like, I honestly think that, like, there's a good chance that, like, most of these will never be found, which is just, like, so sad, but, like, also just crazy to think that just, like, one day this, like, freaking random, like, kind of unknown fantasy author is like, hey, what if we just, like, made this crazy treasure hunt and, like, you know, bought a bunch of precious gemstones and then, like, would give them to people if they could figure these freaking things out? And it's just, like...
Yeah. It kind of makes me want to do my own treasure hunt. Like, honestly, I want to, like, make a new one and be like, internet, everybody, like, figure it out. But it would get solved much faster, I think, you know?
Right. And just, like, the amount of collaborative work that went into, like, making these puzzles, you know, between, you had painters involved, you had writers writing these poems that like corresponded with the paintings, and like figuring out how to create the hints and hide them within these paintings of just like weird mythical creatures. And it's just like, oh yeah, you know, if you line up the warts on this freaking gremlin's face, it like makes the shape of this like particular like walkway that goes through this park in freaking Chicago. That's, but then also it corresponds to a poem that's like, oh well, if you like look over the shoulder of L, which stands for Abraham Lincoln, in this particular park, you'll see these trees or whatever that are in the shape of the thing, and you'll see this fixture that's this very specific shit. It's like, my God, dude, the amount of work that had to go into creating this sort of thing is just amazing to me.
Oh, it is amazing. And I think to me, the thing that piques my interest the most of this is the story behind it of the humans becoming worthy afterwards. Yeah. Like, I want to believe that this was actually put on Earth by the fair creatures or whatever they were called.
Yeah, the fair people.
And the fair people. I want to believe that, and I want to find the puzzles so that we can see if they're actually real. Like, is this a real test? Even though I know it's not. That would be so much cooler.
Yeah.
But yeah, money's cool, it's too.
And some, you know, a precious gemstone that could be worth a couple $1,000 is kind of neat too. But, you know, but I mean, I do like the just like imagining, you know, sort of like that they took the time to sort of create this lore that goes with it that like makes it kind of like feel like, ooh, we're on a little adventure here. It's not just like, hey, let's get rich, man. Make some money. Yo.
Yeah, it's like,
your right and fill yourself with fright. If you look above, you shall see the glove. And under the glove is a piece of love.
It's like, oh, that's the stuff I want. I want scavenger hunts with rhymes and riddles and creatures and critters and goblins, ghouls, gremlins, everything.
And it's just cool. It's cool to see this sort of like ARG predecessor sort of thing, you know, because like, it really feels like, you know, it's kind of like this was in a lot of ways kind of sort of set the stage for that sort of thing. This sort of like,
it's the grandfather, you know, of ARGs.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you think you're just like reading some, you know, fantasy story, and it turns out you're actually embarking on a real treasure hunt. Like, oh shit, there's like real world stuff going on that we need to figure out within this like fantasy story or whatever. And it's just, I don't know, I just think it's really neat. And I wish it's I had cool the medium. Kind of minds that could solve this sort of shit, but as you could tell, probably tell from me trying to explain it to you, I do not.
Yeah, I don't.
These
either.
Are not the
and
kind of things
it's
that I can really. Yeah, these are not the kind of things I can solve. You know, the craziness of like a QAnon conspiracy, I can figure that out. But you know, you know where. How many paces to the right to go from, you know, the mulberry bush to find, you start digging for a freaking like elaborate gremlin cask, you know, that's just not my wheelhouse,
too much.
I guess.
Well, I mean, one of the crazy things is like, okay, you've got eight digits, and within these eight digits somehow is the latitude and longitude of Cleveland, Ohio. And it's like, eight digits, that could be like the whole world of long. Like, there's a lot of different ways you could rearrange that so it could be anywhere in the world. I don't know how they're figuring out the right places. Like,
right. I mean, the thing that does help a little bit is that knowing that it was all contained to North America, so Canada and America, so it has to fit somewhere within Canada and America. So that helps isolate things a bit. Not a lot.
I wasn't thinking about
that. But I mean, there is that. Luckily, there was that, because oh my god, if this was a worldwide scavenger hunt, I don't think anyone would have found any
of
them.
It's over. Yeah, I mean, it really is an ARG, because I mean, if you think about ARGs, like if you don't know, they're alternate reality games, and this is an alternate reality that is incorporating real things from our world to tell a story in a different world, and I think that is so cool, and I want more of this.
Yeah,
but like,
and then you
newer.
Could actually get like a gemstone and a funny little cask you can keep on your mantle. That's cool.
I'd be worried about it being cursed or something.
I mean, there are some cursed images. It's a very short book if you want to read it. They have a PDF version of it on the secrets.pbworks.com website. I quickly read it yesterday. And they actually also made sort of like these very Jim Henson-esque like puppet sculptures that were supposed to represent the different races, and they're kind of a cursed image if I'm being a little bit honest. Like, they're all very freaky looking, like 80s style Jim Henson stuff was, you know, like, think
dude, you gotta
the Dark
send
Crystal.
That to me.
Yeah totally. Or go check out that brain bloggle, maybe there'll be an image of that in there.
Oh, maybe there will
said,
be
said cursed image. I didn't include it in my slideshow because I only saw it last night, and at that point I was like, I'm not adding more to the slideshow, there's already too much.
But maybe that'll be the meme this week. Maybe we'll get back into making memes, and that'll be it.
Puppets. We really got to. We really got to, because we've been slacking on that.
We've been so slacking.
I mean, as you guys maybe noticed from how this episode led off, it's been hard to get this podcast done recently. So doing extra stuff has been even more difficult.
I don't know how we ever did it once a week. I don't know how. That's crazy to me.
I think, you know, we're basically wrapping the episode out now. This is just gonna be a little loose rap sesh here now. All three of us used to work together at the same studio setup where we used to video edit stuff. So basically what we would do is at the end of the workday, we would just basically like lock the studio and put a sign up being like, we're recording a podcast, and just record while we were at work. So I think that
it was super convenient.
Literally we're like, we're already here, so like, let's just record this thing. And then, you know, when the pandemic happened, we were all just home every day. So it was, you know,
that's true.
You know, we were working from home, so it was easy enough to be like, we already got our laptop set up. Why don't we just plug in our mics and start recording, you know? But now that's like, you know, me and Bobby are, you know, and Jack too, we're all physically working places again, which means we're commuting places, means, you know,
different times,
that eats into the time you have to actually do research, because unfortunately this is not the kind of podcast where we can just roll out of bed and be like, all right boys, let's suit up and record, you know. You actually got to do some work leading into the episode, so you know,
I mean, with all that said, like, you know, we do this for free. So if you can support us on Patreon, that'd be a big help. Yes. Bogtober is coming up soon.
Yeah, Bogtober is coming up too, which is super exciting. Also, we actually had a new patron sign up, I think today.
What?
So shout out to... Yeah, hold on. Let me look them up real quick so I can, you know, say thanks. Although, I don't think they're at the shout out level, so I can't specifically say thanks. So maybe I won't do that. But you know who
maybe
you are.
Not. Thank maybe you for, upgrade.
Thank you for signing up for the $1 level. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, we do.
It helps keep the lights on here because we actually pay money to do this, basically. So, so if you,
I mean,
enjoy
our
the
most
show,
precious resource is time, and exactly. We spent, you know, about almost 3 hours on this now. You know, Brent spent more with his research.
Yeah, I spent quite a bit of time agonizing and stressing because I was like, "Oh my god, this is not a Brent episode. This is a Jack episode. Why am I the one who decided to do this?" Why didn't I just pivot to something else? Eva, I'm so sorry if this wasn't what you hoped it would be.
It was still fun. It was a weird episode because it was the first episode ever without Jack.
Yeah, also, yeah,
hopefully
I'm so
the
used
last.
To, like, I know, hopefully the last. Although, you know, yeah, you know, we've done a couple before without Jack, but usually, like, you know, my wife or someone will fill in, but, you know.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. We did do that.
Yeah, we did that one Last of Us
the
2
Last of Us
Part
episode.
2 episode. But yeah, so, you know, if you enjoy this show, and you want to support us, you know, Patreon's a great way. We also have merch if you want to go to the brainbogglepodcast.com. We have links for all that shit there.
Yep. I'm thinking about doing some new merch soon, so
ooh, hell yeah.
Go check that out.
You know, maybe new Bogtober merch.
That's what I was thinking.
Just
saying.
I don't know this. We don't know this. If you want to reach out to us, if you want to tell me like how poor of a job I did on this episode, you can email us at brainbogglepodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's brainbogglepodcast@gmail.com. We also have, you know, the social meds. We got @brainboggled for Instagram, @brainbogglepod for Twitter. If you want to reach out, follow us on those things, maybe shoot us a DM. We try to respond to everything because we love you guys and
you fuel
us. The only reason we keep going is because of your love and support. So we appreciate it. And give us some five stars if you can.
We don't want to lose your love tonight. give us some five stars, people.
Give some five stars. It helps the podcast get seen, which means more people can, you know, enjoy this hot and spicy content that we put out for you guys usually every 2 weeks. This time every 3 weeks, I guess.
This one time,
3 weeks. But this episode's getting a little long in the tooth. I think it's time for us bogglers to wrap it up. So
yeah, for sure.
Thank you so much for listening. We're sorry Jack wasn't here. He was missed, but, you know, the pod must go on. So
we found a way to talk for 2 hours. So
maybe he'll be back I don't want to say maybe. Hopefully he is definitely back for the next episode and not sleeping. Or we figure out a better schedule so that we can do this damn thing. So
I know.
We'll figure it out for you guys. But we didn't want to make you wait another week. So thank you so much for listening. We've been your bees.
We love you.
Bye.
We'll see you next time.